by Reverend Joseph Garland.
Lord,
Lord,
do it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I said, Lord.
Speak a word into our hearts and into our minds to remind us that you are God and God all by yourself. For this we thank you. For this we give you praise. In that name that is above every name, it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Do it for me right now. Hallelujah. Our theme scripture for this choir and usher day, and once again to all of our ushers and our choir members and musicians and those who work along with these ministries, thank you so much for the work that you do for the Lord in the service of your church. The 34th number of the book of Psalms, verses 1 through 3, Psalm 34, 1 through 3, there you will find these words. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from this subject. I will bless the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, ushers. I will bless the Lord. This psalm, like so many others, has its foundation in a historical occasion. The historical context of this chapter can be found in 1 Samuel chapters 21 and 22. It is there that we find David, who has just changed his behavior. As a matter of fact, he's acting crazy before Ahimelech because he's on the run from King Saul. King Saul was not happy with David, and he wasn't happy with David because God was elevating David. God was promoting David. Amen. And let me tell you, you gotta be careful. You gotta watch haters. You gotta watch folk who are jealous of you. Amen. Amen. They don't want to see you accomplish things in life. They don't want to see you prosper. They don't want to see you get promotion. And you gotta be careful because sometimes they will have you thinking they're in your corner. Sometimes they will have you thinking that they have your back, but all the while, amen. They don't want to see you even with them, and they certainly don't want to see you go higher than them. You got to watch those kind of folk. But the good news is, I said the good news is, that if God is for you, do I have a witness here? Amen. He's more than the world against you. And Saul was mad because the women, the ladies, the sisters were singing a song that he didn't like. They were singing a song saying, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And this saying displeased King Saul so much that he sought to take the life of David. Saul set in his heart to kill David. And so now we find David is a man on the run. And during the time that David penned this particular psalm, he's found in a place called Gath. Gath. Why is that important? It's important because Goliath was from Gath. Amen. And in your mind, you ought to think that there's something wrong with that picture. If David is on the run, why would he run into enemy territory? Can you help me, church? I'm having a difficult time understanding, how do you find safety amongst enemies? You know, I know folks say keep your friends close, but keep your enemies close. I know that, but how do you go to the enemy's camp and find safety? How do you find rest among your enemies? Well, the Bible declares in Psalm 110 and 1, in St. Luke 20 and 43, in Acts 2 and 35, in Hebrews 1 and 13, it says that God will make your enemies your footstool. Amen. So some of y'all need to find out where your enemies really belong. Amen. 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 Your enemies, that's not a place for refuge. Their place is not seated by your side, but rather they are supposed to be under your feet. King Achish, who is the king of Gath, is somewhat shocked when he discovers David, who is now on the run. The king looks at David and asks, "Why have y'all brought this madman to me?" And you Bible readers will remember that David had to act crazy, amen, to save his life. Because the custom was that if they thought a person was mentally impaired, they wouldn't bother with them. If they thought, amen, you were crazy, they would not imprison you or take your life. Can I tell y'all something? Some folk that you think are crazy ain't really crazy. Some folk in your life, in your circle, amen, they want folk to think that they're crazy, but they got more sense than you want to give them credit for. And so, but David here is acting like he has lost his mind. Amen, amen. David played like he was crazy. He initiated the plan to act as though he were crazy so the king of Gath would not take his life. Fear will make you act foolish and ultimately lead to your failure. I think I need to back up, rewind, and say that again. Fear will make you act foolish. Our Sunday school lesson was all about wisdom. And when you get full of fear, amen, you will put wisdom to the side and start acting a fool. Amen. Which will ultimately lead to your failure. When you operate in fear, it will literally make you feel like you've lost your mind. That's why Paul spoke with the young preacher named Timothy. He told Timothy, he said, be courageous. Amen. In 2 Timothy 1 and 7, he told him, he said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. David, because of his fear of King Saul and now King Achish, is on the run. And y'all, this is a strong contrast to what David just got through writing in the 27th number of Psalms. In Psalm 27, look at him. He's saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh? They stumbled and failed. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. When you get in a tight place, anybody in here ever been in a tight place? When things don't look good, anybody ever been there where it just didn't look right? When you find yourself in trouble, we have assurance that we have a God that we can lean on. Oh my, does anybody know you got a God that you can lean on? Do y'all know what I found out in my life? Amen. I found out that sometimes God will circumnavigate the situations and circumstances of your life, put you in a place so that you can discover that everybody who's saying they got your back, you discover they really don't have your back. As a matter of fact, when it gets deep and when it gets dark, yeah, they got your back way back. But the good news is it teaches you how to learn and lean on God. Is there anybody who's had to lean on God in the time of trouble? He hid you from your enemies and your haters. Is there anybody here who knows that God is a keeper? He may not come when you want him, but won't he show up on time? If you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt, you ought to give him praise. Now that was David in the 27th number of Psalms. But just a few chapters down the road, we find the same brother in a cave. He's in a cave. The name of the cave is Adullam. All right? He just got through talking about how God was and protect you. And now he's in this cave, and it's really for him a wonderful place to be. Because it's in this cave that he reminisces, he reflects, he remembers, he recalls. David is now hiding in the cave of Adullam. And do you know what I've discovered? I've discovered that everybody needs a cave of Adullam. Yeah, sometimes God will put you there. Because we all need a place to remember what God has done. We all need, amen, some alone time with God. We need a sealed off place. We need a place where we can steal away, a place with no distractions where we can reflect, reminisce, and remember what God has done. Do you know that's why some of us act so crazy? Because we forget what God has done. Oh my, how many times is it that we get beside ourselves because we think that it's because of friends in high places? We think it's because of the degrees that subdue the level of ignorance we've attained. We think it's because we got money in our banks. We think that it's because of our job titles and all of that. And every now and then, God has to put us in a place where we can remember, where we can reflect, where we can reminisce that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, even with my degrees, I would not have made it. Even with my money, I would not have made it. Even with friends in high places, I would not have made it. That's why some of us act a fool on Sunday morning and won't give him praise. Because we think we made it by ourselves. But when you get in that cave called Adullam and remember what God has done for you, remember how you messed up and yet he picked you up and turned you around and placed your feet on. Do you know what I found out, choir? When you get in that kind of place, you don't need a praise team for you to praise God. You don't need a praise leader to pump you up. You don't need the pastor to tell you to clap your hands and stand on. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, praise will break out. I wish I had one or two praisers in here. But then, y'all, the narrative takes an interesting twist at this point. When the friends of David heard that he was hiding in a cave at Adullam, they left their own problems. They left their own issues and went looking for David. I don't know about y'all, but I wish I had some friends like that. Amen. If you got some friends who will leave their own stuff to find you, to help you, you better hold on to those kind of friends. Do I have any witnesses here today? And it ain't just friends, it's family. If you got some family members, because sometimes family will leave you out there by yourself. But if you got some folk in your life that you can count on, amen, they love you enough to, amen, put their stuff on the back burner to help you through your stuff, you ought to thank God for those kinds of friends. And the record is that while David was hiding in this cave, 400 brothers showed up to help him out. I said 400 showed up to help him out. Y'all, I wish I had time to stay there. That's a sermon all by itself. Those men that were in doubt, distressed, disenchanted, disenfranchised, but they took the time and found David and joined him in the cave. This is where and when this psalm was birthed. David now picks up paper and pen and begins to author this 34th number of Psalm. Something on the inside of David began to spring up, and he turns that cave into a church house. David takes his time as he begins to write. He doesn't rush. He takes his time during this process. Now somebody's looking at me and saying, well, preacher, how do you know, amen, he took his time? How do you know that? Well, I know it because when you study the Psalms, you discover that this particular psalm and some others are what is called an acrostic psalm. That means that every verse begins with each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. He says, I will bless the Lord. The first thing he wants you to know is that it's personal. amen. You can sit there and be cool, calm, and collected if you want to, but I will bless the Lord. Amen. You ain't got to say amen. You don't have to say hallelujah. As a matter of fact, everybody up in here can sit there like a bump on a log, but David says, I will bless the Lord. It's personal. But not only is it personal, it's an affirmation of his intent. He says that, amen, there's a difference because, you know, David says, I will. That's different from a lot of us because most folks saying, I won't. I won't go to choir rehearsal. I won't give. I won't bless my pastor. I won't pray for my enemies. Amen. But he says, I will. That's an affirmation of intent. I will, look at what it says, bless the Lord. Now you need to know that that word bless, amen, is the same word that we get the English word eulogy from. And it simply means, when you say bless, it simply means to speak well of. See, a lot of times, and let me plug this in here for our ushers, because most of the time when we talk about praise, we think that it's only referring to singing. But the word really means to speak well of. Can I tell you something? You can have a melodious voice. You can sing in every key and all of that, but if your spirit ain't right, it don't speak well of God. I wish I had a witness up in here. Amen. And I need our ushers to know that you may not be able to hold a note in a basket, but when you stand at that doorpost and when you welcome folk into the house of God with a smile on your face, with joy in your heart, do you know what you're doing? You're praising God because it's speaking well of him. Amen, amen. Some of the folk, amen, it ain't about singing. You don't have to know the difference between A flat and B flat and crescendo and decrescendo and forte and pianissimo and all of that. But if you know that God woke you up this morning, you can praise him. If you know that God put food on your table and clothes on your back, you can praise him. I wish I had a witness up in here today. So this is the very thing that kept Job. Y'all remember Job, don't you? Y'all know what kept Job? His praise. He kept speaking well of God. Y'all know the devil had a design for Job. The devil's intent, the devil told God, said, I'm going to make him cuss you. And we got to give Job, for nothing else, we got to give him an A for not cussing God. And he was so aware of the trick of the enemy that Job said, I don't care what happens. I don't care what the devil shoots my way. I'm still going to speak well of my God. And oh my, oh my, oh my, the Lord give it. That's blessing God. The Lord take it. I'm going to bless God. When I'm up, I'm going to bless God. When I'm down, I'm going to bless God. When I have money in my pocket, I'm going to bless God. When I'm broke and down to my last dime, I'm going to bless God. When I'm working, I'm going to bless God. When I'm laid off, I'm going to bless God. When I'm feeling good, I'm going to bless God. When I've got aches and pains, I'm going to bless God. When I'm understood, I'm going to bless God. When folk don't like me and talk about me, I'm going to bless God. When I'm calm and cool, I'm going to bless God. When I'm stressed out, I'm going to bless God. And this is what keeps worship on a high note. That's why we ought to stop just being a parrot. Preacher said, praise the Lord. Then you say, praise the Lord. Preacher say, somebody ought to say amen. That's when you say amen. The praise leader says, clap your hands. Amen. That's when you clap your hands. Y'all, nobody ought to ever have to tell you when to praise and when to bless God. We need to learn how to bless the Lord on purpose. I heard my nephew, he calls his group, amen, a deliberate praise. We ought to have a deliberate praise. I'm going to bless God on purpose. I'm going to praise him on purpose. I don't know about anybody else, but he's been that good to me. He's been that good to me that I don't have to come in here on Sunday looking for a reason to praise. Amen. When I left my house, when I got in my car, when I walked out with this pain in my hip, amen, that ain't hurting right now, I had a reason to give God praise. Amen. Amen. Don't wait to get here to come up with a reason to praise Him. When you leave your house, you ought to be already thinking about why you ought to give Him praise. Ought not have to wait for the preacher to warm you up with spiritual calisthenics. That's why David proclaimed in Psalm 122 and 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because by the time I get there, I'm going to have a whole lot of reason to give Him praise. When I get there, I'm going to have a whole lot of stuff in my heart and in my mind to praise Him for. He's been good to me. Come on and bless Him in this place. I will bless the Lord. Look at it, look at it. Psalm 34, David said, I got reason. In Psalm 34 and 4, he says, He freed me from my fear. In Psalm 34 and 6, he says, He delivered me from my trouble. In Psalm 34 and 7, he says, He guarded me. In Psalm 34 and 8, he says, He showed me kindness. In Psalm 34 and 9, he says, He supplied all my needs. In Psalm 34 and 15, he says, He listened when I talked to Him. In Psalm 34 and 22, he says, He redeemed me. David now says, in response to what God has done, I will break my silence. David said, I've been in this cave too long. I've been running and hiding too long. It's now time for me to break my silence. And can I tell you, Pleasant Hill, it's time for some of you to break your silence. If God has healed your body, you ought to break your silence. If God has protected you, you ought to break your silence. If God has delivered you, you ought to break your silence. If God has sustained you, you ought to break your silence. If God has kept your family, you ought to break your silence. If God has blessed you with a job, you ought to break your silence. If God has blessed you to live long enough to retire from your job, you ought to break your silence. If God has blessed you with a breakthrough, you ought to break your silence. If God has blessed you up and down the highway, you ought to break your silence. If He woke you up this morning, you ought to break your silence. If God blessed you with a reasonable portion of health, you ought to break your silence. David said, I will, I shall bless the Lord because He's been good to me. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. And I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just couldn't keep it. I got to break my silence. He's been good to me. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. And I can't come in His presence and mean mug God, because He's been too good to me. Can I tell you the whole truth? He's been better to me than I deserve. He's been better to me than I deserve. I owe Him